Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified internist and addiction medicine specialist, everybody. Drew's consumed with smallpox and anthrax and all the other
good things like that. Yes.
Look on the bright side, Drew. You'll probably only get one of them.
Yeah, that's nice.
Drew is squirreling away canned food and water.
It's getting a little freaky. My colleagues are coming up to me and asking questions about, what do you do when people ask you this? How are you doing dealing with that? And then they tell me what they're doing at home and what they're stockpiling.
Yeah.
These are physicians.
Yeah, Drew, you'll be like Charlton Heston, an Omega Man.
And then
it'll be your job to repopulate the planet after the Armageddon. And it's a good thing you're a passionate man, because you'll get around to all the survivors, regardless of race, creed, or weight. Although there will be an order.
and where was I?
Yeah. Colleagues.
And colleagues getting freaked out. And every cough I see, I have to think about the most bizarre illnesses.
Yeah.
That's a bizarre experience to think about plague.
Well, Drew, once again, Atlas, you've decided to put the world on your shoulders.
That's usually my thing.
That's your problem. Yeah. You have taken responsibility for this whole thing. Not responsibility for, but you feel now you are responsible to take care of
really
all the woes.
The ultimate retarded narcissism, isn't it?
Yeah, I was about to say that. How grandiose can you get? Yeah. It's up to me to save the planet, everybody.
Yeah.
Just relax. You'll go as the world goes.
But that's narcissism's retarded brother. You know what I mean?
Right,
can't even enjoy yourself.
Narcissism meets neuroses. You got the worst of all worlds. All right. We're going to, we don't have a guest tonight, so we're going to take ourselves some calls. Coming up, Angelica Bridges, Save Ferris, Lit, Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, nice week.
Yeah, that's coming up next week. I've never met the Oz Man
before.
Oh,
no, really?
No, have you?
Yeah.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
He's been on this show?
He has been on this show.
Years ago.
I didn't realize it was that long ago, but you're saying so.
Well, it's got to be at least six, seven years.
Yeah.
How was he? Coherent?
Depressed.
Oh, really?
Profoundly. And he was from that moment, was the poster child for not doing too many hallucinogens.
Right.
He talked about how all he wanted to do was be able to enjoy... It wasn't quite that pathetic. But he wanted to be able to enjoy fishing with his son. And it was one thing he wanted to do, and he'd go without medication, nothing.
Really?
He couldn't enjoy it anymore.
I heard he had the pole in the water and was holding the bait and hook in his hand.
Yeah, he might have hurt.
Might have been confused. Yeah. All right, so Ozzy coming up on days ahead. Kim?
Yes?
You're 25?
Yes.
What's up?
I couldn't help. I was listening to your show last night about the breast cancer. There was a 23-year-old girl on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And she had breast cancer in her family, her mother, aunts, and stuff.
Right.
And I was just curious. I'm 25, a rather large, actually overly large, breasted woman.
Nice.
And I was told by a gynecologist at one point in time that I should get a breast reduction because my breasts are so dense, so big, that I would never be able to detect a cancerous lump.
Dense. I like that.
Well, what about with there are newer ultrasound techniques and mammograms? That regardless of size and density, that should be able to pretty accurately screen you, unless you had one of these genetic predispositions that, really increased the probability of a breast cancer.
Well, my grandmother on my father's side, my father's mother.
No. I mean, that's breast cancer is a common cancer. It's going to be in many family histories. That girl I was talking to last night, all the aunts, the mom, everybody, all the women had it and had it at young ages.
Let's get back to the density part of your breasts.
Yes.
I've never heard the breasts described as dense. Would you say your breasts are thicker more packed than most?
They're lumpy. It's not exactly, and they are rather firm for a large-breasted woman.
Yeah, we're talking. What cup size are you?
I got myself into a 42 triple D.
Bouncy, bouncy.
Yeah.
And they're actually, the bra is actually not big enough for me.
Nice.
I got them all squished up and pulled together because if I get anything any looser, if I try to do anything physical, they fall out. They're...
Yeah.
If I could get a reduction, I would.
Okay, Drew, let's, should we break, or we're going to take some more calls? Hey, Kim?
You take a nap?
How big's the rest of you, just so I can come down a little bit?
What was that?
How big is the rest of you?
I'm a little bit on the heavy side.
All right. That's all right. Say no more, my dear. Don't utter another word. I'm finished. That's fine. All right, baby. So, breast reduction. Yeah,
I would not go down that path for cancer screening purposes. Okay,
but you know, if you want to lose some bust size, you lose a little weight, and you might lose some bust size too.
Oh, we're working on it.
All right,
Kim. I think that
is easier said than done.
I know. All right, take care of yourself.
Oh, we're gonna try.
All right. And you still get a lot of dudes because of those big cans, right?
Oh God, the guys love them.
Yeah,
they all tell me, "Oh God, don't do anything. They're beautiful."
Yeah. Nice rack.
You know, I don't know how this is going to sound, but guys will go even the curious. You know what I mean? We'll go even with the big ass. We'll go with the big boobs just to grab hold of those things. And I think it's the way of God, sort of evening things out.
Yeah, not all guys.
No, not all guys.
But those that are in.
Right. And I always tell that too. Guys always say that to me. You know, why do guys always have that sort of bizarre, perverse rationale or thinking? Like, when I tell them I'm a boob guy, they'll go, you mean even if the chick's ass is like 4 feet wide and it's all covered with hair and it's got divots in it, you still... And I go, no, you idiot.
Yeah.
I like boobs, but, you know, there's a cutoff someplace. Gene?
Hey.
Hey, you're 20. What's up?
Okay. Nothing, really, but how are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
All right. Every time, like, this has become a recent problem. I've been with my boyfriend for 2.5 years, and I guess he's my fiancé, if you want to get technical, but...
I'm going down to Atlanta to talk at the Rosalind Carter Center.
Gene's calling from Atlanta, by the way. Yes, thank you, Drew.
Recently, every time we have sex, he like breaks out in a rash.
On his
penis.
Penis.
Is it a rash or is it just chafing?
And his skin like dries all out and then peels. It's all beet red and nasty.
Yeah, that's not rash. That's just sort of you, actually. The stuff that dries and peels off.
Ooh. Yeah. Do you have any yeast or anything?
No.
No, the redness made... How long do you guys have sex before you stop?
Like the last time was like maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah, maybe it's just a little irritation from all that. And then
it happens every time now. Like, it didn't do this at first, but like the past month, every single time it's like this. And it hurts me too, but not like it hurts him.
Are you sure she's not passing some yeast onto the peckaroo, as I like to say?
Well, the rash vanishes from the peckaroo by morning, right?
No, it's like a couple days it's there.
Oh, it is.
Then it goes away.
Right. You got a little yeasty on the peckaroo. Right.
What goes away in 2 days? Just irritation,
I don't know.
Really.
Maybe it dries out. Does his penis get flaky after that?
Yeah, it's nasty. It's like the next day it's like that. But then for like the rest, if we do that in the morning, the rest of the day it's all red.
Well, maybe.
Like, could be.
Like
could
a cherry
be.
Tomato.
Maybe you should get yourself.
Ooh, really red.
It's
red.
Okay.
Why don't you get yourself checked out?
Yeah, this needs to be checked out. Do you have some soreness too?
He's large, and that's why I always hurt. But I just fine.
It's just friction.
Yeah, it's just irritation. It really is.
All right. Well,
is there anything we can do?
Why don't you try the using lubricant?
We did, but I broke. Like, I'm allergic to it. The kind that we had.
Oh, you're wearing condoms all the time.
No, we can't because I'm allergic to latex.
Well, why don't you use polyurethane or animal skin?
I've been on a pill for so long. And
All right. Okay.
What kind of lube would you use? Like pig fat or something?
Crisco.
Yeah, you got to try something else.
Yeah.
Use like one of those water-soluble lubes?
Yeah, it was water soluble. It was.
And if he's wearing a condom, maybe he's allergic to latex.
I know. I think he is too.
That sure could be. Absolutely.
We don't use them for the knee, though, mainly. And then, actually, I have one other question for you.
Yeah.
With all the new ADD meds on the market, is there any one in particular you recommend above the other one?
Because
they just stuck me on Adderall. I don't actually. I have ADHD, and I.
Yeah, Adderall is a good medicine used properly. Adderall, and there's long acting Ritalin now. Yeah, I have no quarrels about Adderall used properly. So that's fine if it works.
All right, let's talk to young Doug, who's 29.
Hey, guys, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Doug, what's going on there?
Well, I'm giving you a call. It's now 1:15 a.m. from West Palm Beach, Florida, and I hate it. Here's the situation. I moved down here last December after a month-long hospitalization in New York for severe depression. I've been diagnosed as bipolar manic depressive, Tourette syndrome, basically a Heinz 57 of any psychosomatic disorder you could have.
You're on the high side of things right now.
Right now I'm bouncing off the walls, and about 1:30 in the afternoon tomorrow I'll be down. So,
you're fairly rapid cycling.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Drew, I'm a very rapid cycling person. I could be up for maybe 3 days, and then I crash. The problem is, I take a lot of medication, and because of that, last year I was at 195 pounds with a 30-inch waist, and I was in the best shape of my life. Now, 225 pounds with a 44-inch waist, and I have, like, no confidence. Where I live, I'm an hour and a half out of South Beach, which I will never go to, because I'm terrified of it. Not that, you know, one day I won't have money, or one day I won't be able to live or something. It's just that the way I look right now and the way I feel about myself, you know, I don't feel that I can compete with these guys that, put it this way, I was walking down a street down
you're
here.
You're fat. Drew, please, go ahead.
I'm sorry I'm being so
that's
loud.
Right. You're walking down the street and some guy who's all shaved
he was
bronze.
In front of his car. It's a Corvette. It's got the lights going and the stereo going, and all these women are walking up, oh, can I sit in it? And I'm walking down the street, and I'm like, gee, let me go get on my 10-speed and impress them.
Right.
It's you're just
listen, hold on a second.
This is my penis is too small.
Yeah, hey, Doug?
Yes, my friend.
You want to know what women really hate? They hate a sort of desperation mixed in with anger, which is what you got right now.
Well, hold on. I can tell you something. I have no problem with going to a nightclub and, you know, just sitting and hanging out and being a friendly, outgoing, you know, nice guy. I really am. The problem is, it's just that I lack confidence now.
Right. Right. Here's what women are looking for. I'm going to put Doug on hold because he's got a full boost of high-octane jet fuel in him, and it's going to be hard to talk. But, Drew, stop me if I'm wrong here. Women don't see. Okay, here's what I want to say to all you screwballs out there. You're constantly trying to mold yourself into a type that you think a woman would be attracted to. Women are attracted to all types, but the type, the through line for the type is comfortable in their skin.
Yeah.
They love a guy who's confident enough to be comfortable. And I don't mean a braggart. No. And I don't mean a guy who's necessarily driving a Corvette. But there's nothing that a woman likes more than a guy who's kind of quiet,
who's present,
not pushing too hard, and kind of present.
Yeah. And remember that experience we had with Rosancho? I brought this up the other day where they couldn't separate out what a guy does and that sort of quality of being confident from how he looked. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't do it.
Drew, yes.
You want to tell, is it worth telling the story?
No, I don't know. I'm trying to take a sip of coffee for the first time in 15 minutes. You need a response from me after I did the
All right, let me get back to Doug then. I'll tell the story later. But the fact is, Doug is bipolar. Doug is on medication. Doug knows he can have a 30-inch waist. Doug knows how to get in shape. Doug can do it. He is handicapped by the medication, but the fact is he needs to start moving down the path towards health. He needs to get on the diet, start exercising again.
Go ahead and do
what he can do. He's lucky enough that he can do that.
Yes.
Some people could never do that.
So, Doug, don't just relax.
Okay.
Don't pick an angle with the ladies, and don't judge yourself just yet. Just stop judging. See, that's what you're doing. You're judging and you're beating yourself up. You're saying, I can't compete with this guy. I can't compete with that guy. Compete.
You're right.
Here's what you need to do. Compete with yourself.
Yeah, okay.
Be as good as you can be. Be as smart as you can be. Be as present as you can be.
There you go.
If it means dropping a few pounds and getting on an exercise regimen, do that.
But you know, let me tell a story now about the Roseanne thing.
I'm going to take a crack.
No, take the coffee. Just a sip.
Okay.
You and I were on the we were on this daytime talk show, and we were trying to. Adam was describing his theory about the numbers that you people have sort of a ranking, and people should match up with their ranks. And he was using himself and me as an example, and he says, well, all right, Drew and I, we're like, you know, 4 or 5. I think he said 4 or 5, something like that. And
I can't have given us a higher number than that.
I think so. Maybe he said 6. Right. And they went, and Roseanne goes, no, you're 8, 9. He went, no, you understand. Look, we are 5, 6. That's what we are. Maybe in our sort of, what we call that career, or what's that like category you have? Position in life.
Right.
Position in life, maybe an 8, 9. But looks, we're like a 6. They, no, you're not.
Right.
They wouldn't even accept the point we were trying to make.
Right.
Because they couldn't separate out position from appearance.
Right. But what's your point? Oh, yes, they couldn't separate the categories.
Yeah.
That's right. Because women look at you as a TV dinner that's been put through a paint shaker.
That's right.
There's not the peas, the apple strudel, and the fried chicken. It's just one big mess of calories.
Gestalt.
And either they like it or they don't.
Yeah.
You are a fruit compound.
Even though each, even though the apple
it all factors in. But guys who get caught up with trying to figure out, try to mold themselves into some kind of package that women are going to like, it does not work. You come across like a used car salesman. Doug needs to just work on Doug, not for women, for Doug, and women will then magically be attracted to him. Jay?
Yeah, that's me.
You're 29. What's up?
Hey, I heard the president say something last week, Adam Carolla, that you would just love. I know there's certain phrases in the world that you think people should use more, and good old George Dubb used one.
Yeah, I think I heard him say it too, but go ahead.
Is this Phil Henry?
He said that fighting the war on terrorism is going to cost us somewhere to the tune of $60 to $65 million.
Right, and it was a perfect use of the phrase, to the tune of.
That's right.
Which I'm scared, and I'm glad you brought this up, Jay. There's certain things that I think will just die. It's like, you know when you hear the American Indians constantly talking about if the next generation does not learn the ways and the customs and the language of the Cherokee and the Comanche, it will die off.
This is your calling. The comedy from the 70s needs to be resurrected.
This isn't even comedy. This is just a good old, this will go the way of 22 Skidoo if we don't keep it alive. We've already lost quicksand as a means of slow death.
But that was another sort of comedy technique.
But it was in the Tarzan movies, too. And the point is it's gone now. I don't think kids know what quicksand is today. The point is if you guys could work in to the tune of and then put a dollar amount after it, it would really be great.
I heard you talking last night as we came in here about needing to have more elephants around mice. Wasn't that?
Yes. Yeah. There are also things I think kids don't know growing up is that we were taught growing up that mice are deathly afraid. Elephants are deathly afraid of mice, and that if you let a mouse go in front of an elephant,
stampede, it's going insane.
Total stampede. Yeah. That is the way to cause a stampede.
Right.
Just take a mouse and you let him go at the circus.
In fact, no. Better yet, if elephants are stampeding towards you, just throw a mouse in front of them.
Right, and they'll scatter. Yeah. That's another thing I think kids today don't know. Natalie,
hi.
You're 22.
Yes.
What's up?
I have a quick question for you guys. I don't want to take up all your time here, but I am 22 years old. I've been sexually active since about 16, and I have a problem. I cannot have an orgasm no matter what I do.
By yourself?
With a partner or with me or anything.
Hmm. Medication?
Nope. I've tried just simple things. You know, I've had different boyfriends try different things, and it feels good, but it just doesn't feel like insanely great to the point where it's just like,
how?
Oh my gosh!
Have you been in love?
Have I been in love?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that you have sex with that guy?
Yes, that's actually my boyfriend right now.
Yeah.
That we've been dating for almost a year now, and hopefully soon we're going to try to think about maybe getting married, but we still have some things to talk about but that.
Yeah. What are those things?
Pretty much just I want to be financially ready. He wants to be financially ready.
Okay.
Things like that.
All right. And you've masturbated, but to no avail.
Yes.
And you ever use a vibrator?
Once. just to try to see if it would work, and it started to feel pretty good, but it still just was not happening, and it was almost for like an hour I tried.
And you're on no medication?
No.
Hmm.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Tried for an hour, huh?
Well, here and there, yeah.
Thing must have been red hot.
Here and there? I mean, like a minute 60 times?
Yeah. No. Minute on, minute off.
No, not like that, but I definitely did try, and it just doesn't seem to happen. I don't know if maybe it's just I'm too self-conscious, and I'm just not able to relax.
See, has your boyfriend gone down on you?
Yes.
Yeah, nothing, huh?
I mean, it felt really good, but it just wasn't to the point where, oh, my gosh, it was
Are you a religious person?
Yes and no. I went to pretty much like a Christian school, but it's kind of, I'm not very heavy duty into religion, but I do believe in it.
Yeah. Do you have issues with being sexually active before you're married?
No, nothing like that.
Maybe he needs a little technical supervision. You know, the boyfriend?
He can call one of our field reps, probably, be able to assist him. How's he do? Well, you don't have anything really to compare him to, right?
Yes and no. I've had other boyfriends that I've been with and that kind of thing, but it just still isn't the
same. Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, look, hey, Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
And, Drew, you object if you hear any of these numbers you don't like, but 22-year-old women, there's probably about 15-20% of you have never had an orgasm, and it's not going to come easily. It doesn't mean you're never going to have one. And it usually, most women, by their mid-20s, that number goes down to 10%. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say, Drew?
Yeah.
So there's good times ahead. So, you know, good times. So you got that to look forward to.
Don't expect it during intercourse. That's probably not going to happen.
No, not going to do it that way. Can you apply yourself with a little booze and just try to, you know, put some Yanni on and relax and let them go down on you?
Hey, I'll try it. I'm pretty much coming to the conclusion I'll try anything.
Well, try, but don't work at it so much.
Right. You have to try without trying.
You have to be open without trying.
Right. You have to somehow let it happen. And I would think, wouldn't you think, Drew, with most women who can't have this, they get too far up in their head?
Yeah.
And they start working too hard, and it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if someone was trying to hypnotize you and you were thinking about doing it too hard, it wouldn't work.
That's right.
All right, so she needs to relax. Nothing wrong with a little red wine, a little weed or something. And she needs to screw herself up just a little bit. Okay, good advice. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Jason, who's 27. His girlfriend has a relationship with a vibrator, and it's taken over after this.
Love Line. We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Maybe a little lightning round tonight.
Liar, liar, whore, liar, whore, you know it.
Yeah, yeah. Might have to pull that one out. All right, let's talk to Jason, who's 27. Jason?
Yeah.
Your girlfriend's got a vibrator?
Three or four of them.
I see. And she uses them how often?
Well, actually not very often at all. It's just, the only problem is that when we've been together for almost 3 years now, and when we got together, you know, it's pretty much like most relationships of what I know. You guys have a lot of sex to start off with, you know, every day, a couple times a day, you know, whatever. You set aside a whole weekend just to go for it, and it used to be like that. And then at times it'll go more, and then it'll go less. Well, lately it's died down pretty decent amount, and you know, she was molested by an older brother and things like that, and I understand like she'll have a problem with like, you know, being touched and things like that.
Yeah.
And she's been through counseling for, she went like 12 years or something and then stopped and then recently went back and then stopped again.
Well, hey Jason, let me cut you off for a second. If you've listened because we weren't getting anywhere. But I did appreciate some of the information we got.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we've talked about on this show all the time is people that were victims of the sexual molestation, they're streaky sexually. They have tons of sex, and then they shut down.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you may be going through that cycle with the same person.
Right.
Okay, well, what I'm wondering about is why we'll go and we'll, like, for a week, we'll have sex 4 nights in a row, and everything will be fine, and she'll have an orgasm 3 times, and then we won't have sex for 2 or 3 days, and I'll be laying in bed, going to fall asleep, and she'll say something not really having to do with anything, and she'll kind of move. And I'll be laying there trying to fall asleep, and all of a sudden I'll kind of hear, man, what the hell is that? And then I look over, and she just kind of like pushes me off or whatever. And then I kind of have to ask her if I can, you know, basically participate, or if she's going to do that by herself. And she tells me, if you're going to masturbate, you go in the other room.
So you're lying there trying to fall asleep, and she pulls the vibrator out?
Well, not so. Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. Like, I've been kissing on her or whatever, and then she's kind of told me no, or kind of gave me the no.
All right, but listen, Jason, she was victimized, and because of that, it's going to be hard to make heads or tails of her sexuality. I mean, it's going to be erratic.
But
there's going to be times of great passion, and then there's going to be times of anger.
Yeah,
you see, that's what you're getting.
Time,
It's exactly, you know, it's essentially what I was saying earlier.
Yeah, it sounds sort of.
But here's the number one thing.
Disconnected.
I think here's what you're going to get from anybody who's effed up, especially a woman.
All right.
And especially sexually. Tons of mixed messages.
Chaos, yeah.
Just, it's going to be.
Disorganized.
Yes. If you ever watch the lottery. When they draw the ping pong balls out of there, that's the randomness of it.
When the balls are spiraling around.
Yeah, they're just spiraling around and one shoots in. And sometimes, for some reason, they're all even numbers. But you can't put too much stock into it because the next time,
pow,
there'll be something totally different.
Yeah.
And that's what Jason is up against.
Yeah.
And as guys, I think a little more linearly than women do. We try to make sense of everything. We can't figure this out. Well, we got it on all last week. It was great. She was lovey-dovey.
Trying to find a system. Well, wait a minute. What's the system?
What's the plan? I'm looking for a pattern.
Yeah.
Yes, pattern. And the pattern is no pattern, which I'm not sure is a pattern. But I think eventually, if you can have no pattern long enough, eventually falls into the pattern category. Right, Drew?
Chaos.
Chaos. All right. So young Jason needs to just be compassionate, and she needs to continue doing her work. But he can't keep reading so much into this. She's a victim who's going to send mixed messages. Thank you. Brian?
Yeah.
You're 29?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I used to do a lot of drugs when I was in high school. About 5.5 years ago, had my first son. And about 6 months
old. Hold on. But I think Brian's line is too bad. Damien, did the line sound that bad when you were talking to him? No?
Well, maybe he's getting. Let's see if we can get into a better sort of spot.
Talk to Brian on line two and see if we can't straighten out his line. It's tough to listen to.
We have a lot of emails here.
Serenity, we do. Yeah. You see anything you like?
Yeah, this is a really good one. Going
right, hold on
Riley.
A second, Serenity. No. Drew, don't bring it up, all right, as I punch
all right,
up
we'll
the call.
Punch out. Let's go.
No, you brought it up.
That was just a little interstitial to get you to the call. Let's go.
The interstitial to get me to call was Serenity, and then you saying we got a lot of good emails here.
I'm not going to read any, but
Read one, please.
Remember we were talking about mitochondrial DNA the other night?
Sort of.
That the plasma, apparently that comes from the female only.
We were talking about identical twins, and if there was a way to separate them if one of them had sex with the other one's wife, you'd be able to figure out whose kid it was.
I guess you'd be able to tell if there's a different mother if you get the mitochondrial DNA, but even then there might be some similarities.
What do you mean if there's a different mother?
In other words, well, that didn't work. It can't
no,
be.
I don't think
it
that worked.
It was, no. You're saying impossible.
All right, so is this what you're saying? If you're identical, twins, two brothers, and one or the other has sex with one or the other's wife, you're trying to figure out whose kid the baby is.
Can't do it.
You cannot do it.
Cannot do it.
But if it was identical females, yeah, you could figure it out somehow.
Still can't do it. Still
you still can't do it.
Yeah, still can't do it.
All right.
Whatever.
Riveting, Drew.
I just like the emails here.
That's it?
Well, lots of them. This guy whose dad's eating, watching porns of women eating poo, and he wants something wrong with that. What do you think, Adam?
What kind of poo? I mean, is it solid?
Solid, yeah, solid poo.
Yeah, no, that's not right.
If just playing devil's advocate, if it was loose bowel.
If it was loose bowel and the chick was doing it and had kind of a sense of humor about it, like with a crazy straw or something.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, that's probably bad.
Another woman found a husband found a condom. He had a condom in his like bedstand. He said he masturbated into the condom.
Oh, yeah. No.
She believed it.
I love it when guys pull that crap. Guys are great because here's what guys do. They're boffing some secretary or their neighbor or their wife's sister, and they use the condom, which is smart, but in the heat of nobody takes the time to properly dispose of a condom because you're covered with sweat, you're glistening, you're glowing. You just want to get rid of it. And you say, I'll get rid of it, you know, I'll take care of it in a minute, but you don't because you've had a few beers, and then your wife pulls up in the driveway and you're all freaked out, and then she finds a soiled condom. Listen, ladies, do not believe that.
Even an unsoiled condom, if you aren't using them with your husband?
Yeah.
Any kind of condom, any kind of paraphernalia.
You like mean that. If you find it in the package?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that kind of stuff's happened to me before where people hand you condoms at concerts and events. And
but you're you.
I'm me, yes, that's true. But I think you could pass that one by. Which is you go to a concert and there's some condom Trojan mobile and some jackass handing them out to everyone and you just put it in your pocket and then you get home that night and you throw the thing out on the desktop.
All right.
That one you could lie about. But the open condom, and here's my deal. Whether the guy was cheating in using the condom, or even if he wasn't, what if he actually was beating off into a condom? Still grounds for dismissal. Yeah. I would not trust a guy who beats off into a condom.
That's scary. Ooh.
Yes, I would not want to be around that guy. I wouldn't trust that man with my kids. Serenity?
Hi.
Hey, you're 14. What's up?
I wanted to thank Dr. Drew for his help.
What happened?
I called in about my stepbrother who wouldn't wipe himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really? Was I here for this?
Well, maybe it was Chris Hardwick, yeah. Stryker. Chris Hardwick. Wow.
Boy, you're digging deep.
I'm distracted
deep.
Tonight.
So, what about his wiping? Was he retarded?
No.
Why wasn't he wiping?
He was defiant. Know. Oppositional defiant.
Wiping what? His ass?
Yeah.
How old is he?
14.
14, not wiping himself?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know he's not wiping himself?
Well, it's like...
She found his pants.
I have to help with the laundry and stuff, you know.
She found the drawers.
And did he admit he wasn't wiping? Because some guys wipe, but they don't do a great job.
Yeah.
What did you do with him? What happened?
Well, you gave me a number, and now my stepdad's gone.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, his stepdad's beating the crap out of this kid. Literally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, Serenity?
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing a great job, but you're saying everything's good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Great.
All right, so your stepdad's out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And your brother's wiping himself.
Yep.
And now laundry detail isn't as painful anymore, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Good job, Serenity.
We're glad it all worked out for you. My laundry's a mess, too, and I actually do it. I've told you this many times. It's humiliating, but I do it. I don't let my maid do it. I think you could probably tell a lot about a person.
I think you'd have a legal problem if you made her do it. I really do.
Like she could get pregnant.
It's just the liability is too high. No wonder you
scuttle
down.
Yeah, why chance it?
Yeah, it's
why
the only thing you hustle to every couple of days is to get that laundry away from
you. Oh, she's got to be on to me. I mean, she's just got to be there. The entire house is a filthy mess, yet there's a fresh load of laundry in the dryer every time she shows up. It's like... She's got to do the math on that. Because it's just such a disaster. It's a Rorschach test, my underpants. It's a mess. I use them, like I said, when the underpants come off, from the time they come off to the time they get to the hamper, they have about 14 different uses before they get to the hamper.
You know,
their job is not done when they come off of it.
I know what I'm getting you for the holidays. I just figured this out. Christmas? So we had babies, you know, we had triplet babies, right? And so we had all kinds of poo and stuff, secretions and things.
Mm-hmm.
We had a diaper service, and we just used the diapers for, like, wiping and spitting up on and stuff like that. So I'm going to get you a diaper service.
Oh, you see, you would use, like, disposable diapers?
No, cloth, clean.
No, linen. No, I know, but
disposable
you said you
for the the diapering.
The diaper, you use a disposable diaper.
Yeah.
And then you would use the diaper service as almost rags. Like baby rags.
Right. Adam, this is for you. Yeah, oh, come on. You should be excited.
No, you know, I was thinking, you know what I need? I need a paper towel roll necklace. You know, where I just wear a roll of paper towels around my neck. Because that's really where the problem is.
Yeah, but that's rough. That's hard. It's harsh, the paper. Eventually you'll get chafing and rashes. And
No, I'm pretty tough because I got a layer of oil and hair on me.
No, you need
that
nice,
protects
soft
me from the elements.
Diaper.
I don't know, this roll of paper towels I wear around my neck, this paper towel medallion.
How about just toilet paper around your neck? That'll be
no, I don't like toilet paper because my belly becomes like a decoupage, you know? It's like a, it looks like a pinata.
Paper mache.
Yeah, it's a mess. You guys know what I'm talking about. You try to blot yourself off with some tissue paper, and the one layer peels off, but the other layer is now permanently stuck to you.
Let's get in this a little bit here.
I had to go down to the car wash to get it off.
When you sneeze,
right?
Do you like sneeze onto your shirt and then try to clean it off?
No.
Okay.
No.
When
you're right.
Ejaculate.
Right.
How about?
Hold on. I'm riding. Slow down. Another thing that should have been taught to me as a lad. Yes, go ahead. You're saying to jack off into my nose? What are you saying?
You're saying don't jack off into something.
Yeah, don't let
onto your belt.
Don't let it contact.
There you go.
Well, that's why the paper towel necklace works.
Yeah.
The roll I wear around my neck like a wrapper.
But if you're still not, you got to take the taper off the roll before.
It's not all masturbation. There's you know, wiping the nose on the sleeve. There's spilt stuff that I use.
Again,
you know.
The idea is to get these secretions before they land on the corpus,
gotcha.
On the clothing.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. All right.
Good times.
So you're signing me up for that diaper service?
I think I'm in.
It's going to be humiliating when they find out I don't have kids, though. I got crap all over them. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll speak to Catherine when we come back. She's 16. She was raped by ex-boyfriend. Should she press charges? We'll tell her after this.
Loveline will be right back. So get your problems ready.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is... Dr. Drew over there. Damien, phone screener Damien, reminded me that the Man Show got picked up for 22 more episodes. So until
whatever.
That, big fat homo Tom Shales, the TV reviewer who had a bone to pick with me many years ago.
No showmanship.
Many years ago. Tom, keep writing, you big fat queer.
What's so special about you?
Keep writing, buddy. 22 more episodes. Keep it coming. You're my good luck charm. Go -4 stars. I've had -4 stars on a couple occasions. Go for -5. I think I'd get a bigger pickup next season. Keep writing, you worthless sacks. Keep it coming. 4th season. Keep them coming. Keep them coming, Tom. Everyone's listening. You have the ear of America, apparently. Another big pickup. Keep it coming, you worthless fat sack. Thank you. Catherine?
Hi.
Hey, you're 16.
Yes.
What's going on? Ooh,
so,
listen to that voice. Uh-oh.
You were raped, huh?
Yeah.
Your first rape must have been when you were about 1.5 or 2.
No.
Huh?
No, I was raped last May.
You were never sexually abused?
No.
Why can't I believe that?
Well, I swear. No, I don't know.
This doesn't fit.
Doesn't work for me either.
Okay, well, I don't know if I should press charges because I really don't want my mom to know because, you know, I'm an only and I don't...
Where's your dad? What about your dad?
My dad? What about him?
Why would you be concerned about him finding out?
Because he's really old and he's disabled and he's sick, and if he found out, he'd like have a heart attack and die. So...
Why is he...
That's what he says. I don't know. But,
He said if I ever find out you were raped, I'll have a heart attack and die?
No, he says, like, if they would blame me and they get mad at me.
Yeah.
And so they said if you do one more thing, you know, I'll just die.
You've been having some behavior problems?
No, just, like, whatever I do, like, grades or whatever, you know?
All
now
right.
I'm doing really well.
I miss that. That's a good angle, that Fred Sanford, I'm coming, Elizabeth, where you clutch your chest. Hey, Catherine.
Yeah.
This is the first time anything like this has happened to you?
Abuse-wise, no.
Yeah.
What happened? That's what we're asking.
Yeah.
Okay. I was adopted, and before, like, I can remember stuff from before when I was 2 years old.
Didn't I say two?
What happened when you were one or two?
Yeah. My birth mother and my sisters, they would put their cigarettes out on me. They would, you know, beat me, stuff like that.
All right. There you go.
All right.
Now you're starting to make sense.
Drew started the call by saying what happened to you when you were 1 or 2 years old.
Okay.
Sexually, and maybe nothing sexually happened to you, but you were the victim of abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where you get that voice. I mean, that's how we know.
Yeah.
That little girl voice.
All my life, I've been, like, verbally abused, you know?
Okay.
Like, it's worth anything.
All right, now let's talk about this guy. How old was this guy who raped you, this boyfriend
17.
Of yours?
17.
And what happened? Had you had sex with him before?
No. The reason why he raped me is because he was mad at me for not having sex with him, because I knew that he was diseased, and he was a sex addict, and I tried getting out of the relationship, you know, months before. But he was just really abusive, and... You know, I had to put on makeup on my arms to cover up the bruises.
Well, Catherine, you found one. You found a good one.
Right. So you hadn't had sex with him before this?
No.
Okay.
And your question?
I was a total virgin before that.
And your question is, should you report this?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It'd be good for you in your recovery.
In terms of becoming less of a victim. The fact that you have to ask us, should you report this, suggests how profoundly entrenched in that victim role you are. Now, the trick here, though, is that within really a few hours of the rape, it's hard to collect evidence that proves that you were raped.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
How long ago did this happen?
How long ago?
Yeah.
It was last May.
All right. Yeah, it's a while ago. We're not going to be able to collect any evidence on that.
Well,
but
listen,
still, filing a report would be...
I mean, that's like 6 months ago.
Catherine...
Yeah.
You're doing real good for somebody who's been through what you've been through, and maybe nothing will come of this.
For him.
For him or for anybody, but it's still important to do. And this is a good point. I got to go on a jag here. It's important to do. See, here's what everyone has to learn. Not everything comes from everything. People do this all the time. Why should I do this? I'm not going to get that from that. Yes, you will. You may not get what you're going out for.
Not that time.
Not that time, but it builds you as a person. It really does.
It's equivalent to guys asking girls out, right? She'll never go out with me. I shouldn't ask her out.
It's equivalent, yes, to that. Yeah. It's equivalent to, I mean, the first 10 years of my career, all I did was stuff for free that nobody cared about. And people would say, what are you paying? Or why are you taking this class, or why are you doing that for free, or shouldn't they pay you? And now I get paid for it. So was it for free? Yeah, it was for free when I did it. But was it for free? No, it wasn't, because I'm a millionaire now. Literally a millionaire. But that's what everyone's...
Literally,
yeah.
Literally.
Literally.
Literally?
Literally.
Oh.
Everybody has to learn this.
Literally.
Whether this guy does 5 minutes in prison or not is really not for Catherine to decide as a human being. She needs to prosecute.
Yeah, she needs to be less
of a victim.
She
needs to do it for her.
Yeah, she needs to understand what that feeling is. And it's going to be hard. People are victims. They don't
like
that.
But that's why it's important that she does it. And furthermore, and hear me now, everybody out there who gets involved with one of these a-holes, even if... they don't have a case against them and do any time. It is on their record that somebody pressed a rape charge against them. And the next time it happens, and there will be a next time for these guys, they have now something in their file, which is going to help the next person they victimize.
Couldn't you hear Catherine, 2 years of
Thank
age?
You.
Couldn't you just hear two on her?
Yeah, she wasn't.
She was two.
And, it, you know, here's the thing that's funny is, you know, we usually say, oh, what happened when you're five? What happened when you're six? What happened when you're seven? Drew went one or two. I mean, sort of pre-speech, one or two. That vibe was strong.
It's so strong. It was just two. Pow, that was it.
Sam?
Yeah, I have a question. As long as you don't abuse, like, GHB, like, if you don't take too much, how bad is it for you? Or, like, as long as you don't mix with alcohol, like, how bad is it for your health?
We'll have to answer that after the break.
Yeah. Didn't some high schooler just die to that recently?
Not surprised. Happens all the time.
All right. Well, but still, not as many deaths from as there are from airplane turbulence.
Or secondhand smoke.
As we've learned. Yeah, that's right. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
All right, guys, here's the deal. You're looking to hook up, sick of wasting time with the wrong person?
Dateline.
One call's all you need to make. Call the Dateline. 877-889-DATE.
Call the Dateline.
Oh, yeah! Everybody now!
Hey, y'all. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Our old friend Say Ferris will be in here tomorrow night. Be good to talk to Monique and the gang about what they're up to tomorrow night on the show. And when we left off, we were talking to Sam. Sam has wants to know about the downside of GHB, and we'll talk to him. Sam?
Yeah, I was wondering, as long as you don't abuse it, like you don't take too much or mix it with alcohol, how bad is the GHB for you?
What are you taking it for?
Just to
get high?
Yeah.
Because don't some people take that as a supplement, or didn't they take it as a supplement?
A supplement like for sleep or something that they used to sell at GNC, but then
it raises growth hormone levels a little bit, and so bodybuilders started using it. It is an intoxicant. It's hard to say what the side effects are of abuse of GHB because I've never seen it. I've only seen it really seriously used, and really it's an addiction, what I see. And then the side effects are profound, just a mess. People become, like, manic depressive. Their personality changes. It's like using a lot of hallucinogenic. It seems like that should all go back to normal, but it takes a long time. People are messed up for quite some time. They don't think right. They have, like, a funny stare. They just aren't themselves at all for months. And they go back very easily. What?
Isn't it tough to manage the dosage?
Well, that's the abuse problem. Is that there's a very narrow margin from intoxication to seizure and death. And it's extremely hard to sort of maneuver that. So death, seizure, those are potential side effects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not there's any kind of brain effects from occasional use, you know, once every couple of weeks, we don't know.
Really?
But Sam, the problem is it's hard to tell. I mean, the difference between a good high and death is so marginal that it's easy to screw up. I mean, especially when you're on some sidewalk and you're out front of a club. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're kind of playing with fire there.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Whereas, you know, with other forms of intoxicants, you know where you're at. I mean, you know the difference between, you know, a 12-pack and three beers. You can figure that out. Although, yeah. I had to learn the hard way on many occasions, I must say. All right, Sam. Not a great road to go down.
Thank you very much, Adam. You're the man.
Thank you.
Sam's a pot, pretty heavy pot.
Is he?
Get that in the voice, that Spicoli thing? Ask him.
Okay, let's see. Sam?
Huh?
Do you smoke a fair amount of weed?
Oh, no, really?
Probably a couple times a week.
All right. Uh-huh.
How long's your week?
3 days.
Yeah. Okay. No,
I'm in good shape. Like, I work out and everything.
No, you're right.
I happen to smoke pot, like, every once in a while to relax.
That's fine. Just what's every once in a while? What's every once in a while, honestly?
Like, maybe, like, two, three times a week.
All right. So three, four times a week. All right, buddy.
But his laugh hasn't been affected yet, so it's all right.
Yeah, well,
threshold.
Drew knew you smoke weed, though, Sam. That's always a bad sign.
All right.
You know, it's always funny whether it's somebody who was molested at age two or someone who smokes weed, when they try to sell it to us as, well, it's not a problem. It's like, hey, we've been talking to you for 30 seconds. It's not on the screen.
Yeah.
if a couple of guys know you smoke weed from talking to you for a couple of seconds and it's your question wasn't about weed, doesn't that sort of mean there's a problem? I mean, I don't want to be pop squaredom over here. And I think it's fine to smoke a little bit of weed.
The same thing is true of the caller who goes, you know, I say you're less than you're five. No, it's nothing to do with it.
Well, right.
Yeah.
How did you know then?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, Ed? Ed, you're 22. What's up, brother?
All right. First thing I want to say, Adam and Drew, you guys are gods. I love both of you so much.
Thanks, Ed. We appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I had a question for you. I share a bathroom with a female housemate.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I was masturbating in there, and normally I try to clean up the semen pretty good.
Hang on one second, Ed. He's got a little bit of a...
Well, he's got to keep a low profile.
Yeah, somebody's listening.
I don't know if she's in the house right now.
So you have a housemate who's a female, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you want him to do? Get on the intercom and start talking about beating off in the same bathroom they use together?
Well, anyway...
Thank you, Ed. Yes, appreciate it.
Okay, well, what happened was I accidentally left some on the toilet seat. I normally try to clean it off pretty well.
How do you know you left it there, then?
Well, because I think I felt the residue later. It didn't look like urine.
Dried up.
Yeah, so, and I'm pretty sure she used it in the time between...
Maybe that came out of her.
I found it.
Right.
And I was just wondering, you know, what effects could that possibly have on her?
Well, if she finds out, she could need some therapy. But physically, shouldn't have any.
Okay, I mean...
It's just getting on her leg, then, right?
I assume it's not getting up farther, would you think?
No, I wouldn't think.
She didn't ram the toilet seat up her cooch, did she?
Well, I hope not.
So, we've heard worse on this show.
Yeah.
All right, Ed, you're good. Now, let me get something straight.
Her cooch?
Let me see if I can envision your technique for a second here. You stand up in front of the toilet, or you do it sitting on the toilet?
Our knees.
Sitting.
Ooh, that's quite a...
Woo! Phew. Knees bent,
Yeah.
He's running a chair.
Yeah.
Wow. And heels just sitting there like you're going number two.
Pretty much. I mean, leaning forward, kind of.
Leaning forward.
That's got to get the thing into the pole there.
Leaning forward a little bit, huh?
That way it goes right in the toilet.
Into the bowl. So there you go, yeah.
It seems like it's a little tight, though. You must have no ass on
or
you.
Or no
penis. Thank you, Drew.
I'd say it's a good 5 inches, at least six.
Huh? Nothing good about 5 inches, brother. No, wait a minute. Drew's a passionate man. A passionate, passionate man is very well endowed, so it's easier for him to make fun of the kids. But I'm a little closer to you, Ed. Now, I'm trying to picture this because you're sitting all the way back on the toilet, right?
Right.
I mean, your ass is pressed up against the bowl. I mean, the back, the tank.
Yeah.
Right? And you're masturbating, and your feet are down by your side, and just like they would be if you were, you know, just using the toilet for the reason God intended the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you have your orgasm, you bend your penis down and sort of lean forward.
Yeah.
And go into the bowl.
Yep.
That's conceivable.
But sometimes it catches the seat.
Uh-huh. That's basically what happened.
Maybe something... Yeah, okay.
It's pretty diabolical, that beating off on the commode that way, because you could never be busted. You know, I mean, people walk in, and it's like, hey, I'm taking a crap.
Well, that's why I do it that way. It's because, like...
Right.
I've always been concerned about getting caught, and that way...
No. Genius. Genius, Ed. Because someone walks in on me, and I'm standing over the sink with my pants around my ankles, holding a jugs, and it's like, I'm washing my hands.
I think you're a sick bastard.
Why are your pants around your ankles? You're washing your hands.
So Ed's a genius.
No, this is smart. I mean, think about this. He can never be busted. There can be accusations, but no proof. You're on the pot. But still, that leaning... I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I'm all for... You see, here's what I want to say.
What do you want to say?
You have to weigh pleasure against convenience. You know what I mean? Like, it would be great to just hang your dork out of a moving car and beat off because there would be no mess.
Right.
It wouldn't be very convenient. It'd be hard to drive the car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
People
for
would be honking the horn.
Taking you out of your ninja zone is quite a difficult concept.
Right.
Even like putting down a
a tarp.
Diapers, you know, using a towel.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
It's like, nope, not possible. No, no. It's in that zone.
It's what people, it's the equivalent to putting the condom on during the sex. It breaks the moment. It breaks the rhythm for me if I have to go in for something. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I have to go out back, pull the all-weather tablecloth that's over the picnic table out, poke my penis through the hole that's normally meant for the umbrella, and beat off into the big Cinzano thing there, it's not going to work for me. I've tried. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but that's why these guys who beat off in the shower or on the toilet this way are genius. My hat's off to you. Although, I really, Drew, you couldn't pull that off, could you? You could?
Sure.
You could pull off sitting down, but what about into the toilet?
It's not impossible. Why is that impossible?
Well, because you're sitting there, and your penis goes up when it's erect. It's not pointing straight out when you're sitting.
You have to move around a bit, yeah.
Drew's done this before, apparently. Drew, in a standard size round bowl toilet, not the elongated commercial ones you see at the airport.
It'd be a tall order.
Yeah, and who wants to do the shifting right at the point of ecstasy?
But that's
you and your
ninja thing again. You cannot be disturbed.
You don't mind it taking on small tasks while you're coming, essentially?
No. Whatever they may be.
I don't agree with that. At all. But here's what I want to say. Whenever I go use a toilet, like at an airport or a restaurant or something, and it's got that, you know, the ones that are wishbone shaped?
Yes.
They don't make a full circle?
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
Why not work that into residential use? That toilet seat?
Why not?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, why not? Who decided that there has to be a complete circle?
I don't know who decided it had to be a full circle, and it's half the reason.
When it goes up, it doesn't make that big noise. It doesn't snap against the back of the seat. You know?
And I don't pee and fill my pants like a trough because the urine is going underneath the front of the toilet seat and above the bowl and hugging the contour of the bowl and filling my pants. I would be able to see what's going on.
And think of the millions we'd save in plastic.
For that little 3-inch piece of plastic?
Every toilet in the country.
Yeah, if we could do a seat, every 10 seats, we could do another seat.
That's right.
Okay, I'm with you on this. I would like the commercial style toilet seats in my place. I'm gonna look on
now.
I'm going to retrofit my toilets tomorrow.
Could your ass-cleaning seat accommodate the horseshoe?
My ass-cleaning seat is a horseshoe variety. Oh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Because they're smart over there in Sweden. I think that's where it comes from.
Japan.
No, mine comes from like
here's the Stockholm seal. The seal, or something. Right?
There's a picture of the seal
it's
on
Japan.
It.
It's Japan.
It is?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because that's the one they had at that hotel, the Rigor.
No, mine's got a weird name to it. John?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
Not much, man.
No, we just spent 15 minutes talking about toilets.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to admit, man, jacking off into the bowl is a good idea.
Yeah, but while you're sitting on it and having to bend your penis forward when it's erect and stuffing it into the bowl, it just sounds like too much work.
Well, I mean, you know, you get used to it.
All right. Go ahead there, John.
Well, I love you guys' show.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome. I'm just wondering, you know, I really like this girl at school, right? And I'm always having trouble finding something to say to her and, you know, pickup lines. I was wondering if you had any pickup lines for me, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Pickup lines, by definition, don't work.
They're always flawed.
Yeah.
Hey, do you talk to her? Do you have a dialogue with her?
I mean, you know, I try, you know, like, you say something like, so you're hot, you know?
Well, that doesn't work.
I know.
It's
got to be more in the order of, I guess I know you're hot, but I never really thought of you that way. But
yeah,
are you interested in what?
Hold on, I got a fart coming up there. I was gassy. Hold on, listen to this, John. Listen.
All right.
Oh, it's like a low. Wow, it's like a bass tone.
That's not going to be good.
No, I don't think that's bad. No, it's not bad. You're fine. You dodged a bullet
there. I trust you.
No, it's good. It's fine. It's cool. Right. Hey, John?
Yeah.
She knows who you are?
Yes.
And why don't you just ask her out then?
Okay.
Just ask her out.
Yeah, just straight
out.
Go for
out. Bro.
Straight out.
Don't try to pull anything fancy.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to pull it off. Just
movie
ask
something.
Her out.
All right.
Can you do that?
It sounds good. She's really hot.
Will you do it tomorrow?
Yes, I'll try.
Please do it tomorrow. How does it work with the eggs and the chicks? What the hell was that from? All right. Did I say eggs or AIDS? Yeah, how does it work with the eggs and the chicks?
What were we talking about?
Chicks and
their
eggs?
That was your pickup line, I think.
Oh, that was my pickup line? Really? That doesn't sound familiar to me. Amanda?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
I usually use that the world's your oyster line. Huh. I'm trying to pick up a lady. How does it work with the eggs and the chicks? Amanda?
Yeah.
All right, 15, what's up?
I wrote a really violent essay for school, and I turned it in, and my parents and my teachers are, like, concerned, and they're taking me to see a psychologist.
Yeah.
And they think I'm, like, depressed and psychotic, and I'm not. I'm, like, really cheerful.
What was the essay?
It was about, well, the prompt was, like, what started it, because we had to write from the point of view of this guy who, like, saw another guy dying and didn't try and help at all.
What started it?
Well, we had to write an essay about this guy who saw this other guy, like...
I got that part. You said the prom?
Prompt.
The prompt.
Oh, the prompt. Oh, this is the motivation for the essay?
Yeah.
Okay. What prompted you to write it? They call those prompts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if Drew doesn't know, it doesn't exist. Good. All right. So the motivation was you had to write about a guy who...
Was it his story you read or saw a movie about?
Yeah, we read it in class.
You read his story.
Yeah.
Okay. And you had to write your own reaction to that story.
No, we had to write, like, what the guy who saw him dying and didn't do anything was, like, thinking.
Experiencing.
And, like, why he didn't help.
All right.
Motivation.
All right. What happened with you? What did you write?
I wrote that the guy was, like, a psychotic serial killer cannibal, and he was, like, butchering this guy in his kitchen, and he saw the other guy, like, out the window, because it was, like, on the street, and he was, like, I'm not going to help him, but I'll watch just in case he does die.
Then
the guy didn't die, and so he was like, okay, he's my next victim. It's like...
Yeah. Were you trying to be funny?
Well, kind of. I mean, it seemed like a really good plot, because it, like, tied it together really well.
Yeah, it's imaginative.
And, like, all my friends said it was really well written and stuff.
Yeah, well, what do they want? They pick death is a topic or a prompt for this essay, and then you start... You basically take their topic of death and run with it a little bit. You do creative, like you would do in creative writing, and now you're being penalized for it.
Yeah, well, I want to know what I should say to the psychologist.
Well, let me...
Tell him he's next.
Let me hear a little more about... What color is your fingernail polish?
I don't wear polish.
All right. Do you wear a lot of black clothing?
Not really.
Okay.
Most of my clothes are red, gray, and
green. All right. And you've not been depressed?
No.
Your grades are good?
Yeah, I have straight A's.
Do you ever hear voices or think strange thoughts about people...
No.
They're talking about you or anything like that?
No. I want a puppy, but my parents won't get me one.
I'm scared you're going to eat it.
Scared. you know,
hey, Amanda,
what's wrong with being evaluated? Don't just tell her the truth. You're going to be fine. Don't worry. They're going to clear you.
Okay.
It's no big deal. Yeah, go ahead.
I have another question, though. Like, what if I used the excuse that I was PMSing when I wrote it?
No. You start to get manipulative, and then they will have a problem with you.
Okay.
Just tell her the truth.
Well, they're going to be like, why did you write something this violent? It's totally sick.
You know what? Stay on the academic plane with them. Just like this was, I was being creative. This was where my fantasy took me. You know, I don't have fantasies like this all the time, and it was, that's
well, it's not even, I wouldn't even label it a fantasy.
It's a fiction.
Yeah, well.
That they asked for.
Yeah, listen, what do you want to do, arrest Stephen King?
Exactly.
I mean, what is creative writing?
Like Clive Barker.
Mm-hmm. Clive could be arrested, yeah, by the gay police. But, which was, the gay police was the guy who was in the Village People, by the way. A lot of people don't know that.
Clive?
Hey, I'm Clive Barker, and you're listening to Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Carolla.
Yeah, there it is.
And not an English man in the world can explain to me why you sons of bitch Englishmen got to take... The A, your beloved A, the one you put at the end of water. You know that A?
The A that...
Turns water into water.
Every ER is A.
Every ER is an A to you sons of bitches. Why, when you have a golden opportunity to use an A, like in the name Carolla, do you have to put the ER on the end of it and turn it into Carolla?
Adam Carolla.
Okay, that's passive aggressive. Is it not?
Of course.
There is your beloved A. Here is a chance for you to use it correctly. Nope. Gonna put the ER in there.
Adam Carolla.
Can't say the word spa. It's spar. What is that? And how come no one can explain it? And what other language do they can't say it when it should be used and then can say it when it shouldn't be used? Because you can't use the excuse that they can't say it. There's plenty of Latino guys who just cannot say certain letters or certain combinations of letters. It's very not similar. In their language.
Well, in the Hispanic tongues, though, they've managed to incorporate that phenomenon into their B's and V's.
Right. They've swapped those around.
Yeah, same thing.
Shala?
Shayla?
Shayla?
Shayla.
Shayla?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Look, if you're going to write something phonetically, just put S-H-A-Y if you want me to say Shayla.
That's how I spell it.
No, he's not yelling at you.
That's how you spell it?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Let me yell at, what's his name over here, our former employee? How else would you pronounce S-H-A-Y-L-A? Give me a possible way to pronounce that that isn't Shayla. No, there's no answer.
Let's go on with Shayla. Shayla, what's going on?
Well, I'm curious if this is at all normal, because I sort of discovered a new phenomenon that they don't write about in magazines, and I've never heard you guys talk about, so I don't know if I'm normal. Recently, I've just started working out again, and I've been doing sit-ups, and I got one of those rollers, you know, things, the ab rollers, and I have been experiencing some of the most, intense orgasms of my life, while doing sit-ups. Is that normal? I mean, you guys talk about the tub, and yeah, that's okay, but, I mean, you know, I've used vibrators, and it's all good. I can have...
Let me ask you a question.
Insane.
How far up your vagina do you put this ab roller?
No.
Is it the handle part that you use?
I mean, there's no, actual physical touching.
I see. Then I was confused.
In my mind going on.
No, women do this. Women have orgasms at the gym.
It's very normal. Some men do. There's even a few guys that'll do this doing
right.
Leg lifts.
Gay guys are beating off in the shower.
No, there's a very rare guy. But for women, this is part of that magical range that women sort of encompass.
Right. You're 22. We spoke to a 23-year-old who tried a vibrator and had 10 different tongues down
That's
there.
Totally why. I mean, she needs to start doing this.
No, it won't happen, Shayla. No. You're at the other end of that spectrum.
Wow.
You're the luckier end.
It is so much more intense than any other method.
Really? But you can have you can have one when you're masturbating.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And why don't you start doing kind of sit-ups when you're having sex? What would happen then?
I guess that works.
Well, wait a minute. You're doing like
an... I don't have a problem normally, but I mean, it's just to such another level.
You're doing that ab roller thing where you're on your knees and rolling forward?
No,
I'm laying down.
She's doing the ab rocker.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about that rolling device.
No.
You do the rock thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you rock up, sort of like you're doing a crunch, but I just
Drew, how many years ago did I invent that? I've always told you that with the timed thing. All right.
That thing we did. Yeah, the exercise we do. Yeah.
All right. So, you could do that.
Did you have an orgasm during that?
I had three. Could do that while the guy was nailing you, right?
Do you think it's just the pelvic thrusting thing?
I think it is, but it's also the fact that your knees may be together.
It is, you know, women need to tighten those muscles, and sometimes when they do it, it can actually induce orgasm. That's part of the whole arousal process for some women.
But now, can you have an orgasm, could you be at a gym and not make a scene?
I mean, I think I kind of get into, a zone, and then it's just, intense. I mean, I don't think I need to, scream or grunt or anything, but
you could
lay there still for, a good couple of minutes.
You could do it, no one would know. No one would know, right?
I guess, yeah.
Right.
Probably, the undercover orgasm.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you were sort of grunting and working and sweating.
Are you working hard? Are you working in the gym or at home?
At home, but no public displays. Sorry.
Nice. All right, you consider yourself blessed.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, thank you. And imagine... I mean, you know how tough it is to get people to exercise?
Yeah.
Imagine if you get an orgasm with it. how apt you'd be to exercise.
Yeah.
All right.
Take a break.
Okay.
Do some sit-ups.
All right. We'll be back.
All right.
Hey, John Stewart.
Yeah.
He's a friend of mine. He's a dear friend of mine. I think I could actually call him a friend. When I go to New York, I see John Stewart. He's a dear friend.
Is that why he called it Love Lines?
Yeah, why did he call it Love Lines?
Because that was about 6 years ago.
I usually call him John Stewart, so I guess it's a little payback time. Everyone calls the show Love Lines.
It's true.
I call it Love Lines half the time. All right. But thanks for taking away from my relationship with John Stewart, Anderson. I appreciate you doing it. Think about that part of you, Anderson, that takes such great pleasure in knocking me down off of my high horse.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. All right, let's hop back to the phones and speak to Jake, who's 20. Drew, put the jumbo sack of nuts away. And we're going to talk to
Jake.
Yeah, Jake. Jake.
Hey, what's up? How's it going, guys?
Good. What's Jake up?
Yeah, I was with some friends this weekend, and we were doing, like, a lot of cocaine this weekend, and my friend, he went home afterwards, and I guess he did some crack, and he overdosed on it, and he died on it.
Well, you don't have to overdose on crack to die. So he just plain old did it and died.
But if it kills you, didn't you overdose?
No.
Why not?
Because you can have one first hit off the pipe and die.
Then that's overdosing.
No,
that's
no.
That's the way I look at it.
That's a heart attack or a stroke from the crack.
Well, I don't know.
Overdose means you take so much that your system becomes overwhelmed by it.
I know, that's
very hard to do.
I know, but I think the looser interpretation is...
Let's stay with Jake.
The drug kills you in one night. Jake, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but we were, like, hanging out, and we were doing massive amounts of cocaine that night, and I guess he went home and mixed it wrong, and he ended up overdosing on it, and I don't know what to do now, you know?
How good a friend was he?
He was my best friend. We've been friends for, like, 5 years now.
Well, sometimes when one addict dies, it's a gift or a blessing to the surviving friend, because it gets your attention. It's what actually gets you to go get some treatment and get over your disease before you die.
Yeah.
And if you really want to do something to honor your friend, perhaps that would be the thing to do.
We've been trying to cope. It was only three of us that, like, kind of did this, and we've kind of, like, just kept moving with it, like, trying to cope with it. And we've done a lot more coke, and we've been drinking a lot more lately. And we did.
I'm sure. That's just, again, trying to suppress those awful feelings.
Yeah.
But how about doing something to actually pay tribute to your friend, such as taking care of yourself? And going to get some treatment.
At this moment, it's just really weird. We just don't know what to do. I don't understand this right now.
Listen, because you're high, Jake. Here's the situation. Forget about your buddy for a second. Here's the way you got to look at it. At a lot of tragedy. What the hell?
Yeah. That was my nose. I'm just trying to, like, get the last of it in there.
Oh, please. He's not. He's full of crap.
Yeah. Because you don't do that's not how you do crack.
You don't snort crack?
Uh-uh.
No, he wasn't doing crack, he was doing coke.
When you say crack?
No, he said he was doing massive amounts of coke. I just don't believe him now. He was like sucking it up his nose. Alright. Listen. Here's the deal. If your friend did die, Jake, the legacy that he could leave is you being alive and you not ODing or having a heart attack.
Huh.
And that's what... See, to me, not to spin everything this way, but the people that died at the World Trade Center...
Did us all a favor.
They did. Yeah. In the sense that we are now safer and more aware
right. And
could possibly get away from a situation that could be potentially dangerous to us.
Right. We didn't know we were in that world where that kind of thing could happen, but now that we know it...
Yes, and it took their lives to awaken us to that.
Yeah.
And in a way, when your drug buddies kicks off because he OD'd or had a heart attack, that can be the same thing on a smaller scale to you. And then it'll be worth something, in a sense.
Right.
But if you OD...
He won't have died in vain.
If you OD a month later, then it meant nothing.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk to Kia. Kia?
Hello.
Oh, How bummed were you when that Kia started coming out with those crappy cars? you're named after a bad Korean automobile.
You know what? I'm part Asian, so it really doesn't matter.
What's Kia mean? Four speed? In,
you know, I was told that it
Korean?
Was actually an Asian porn star.
Is that how, were you named after an Asian porn star? Because there's only one, and her name is Minka. Thank you.
But now, wait a minute. This was your mom's way of honoring her child?
Who is number one?
Minka.
No.
Number one Asian big boob queen.
Number one Asian big boob queen.
What's your question, Kim?
Okay. Since I was an exotic dancer for about 3 months, and I was only 18, and I was, like, homeless at the time and everything, after I quit, I just kind of turned into kind of recluse, and I kind of feel like I don't want to, you know, spend my life like a normal kid my age and
don't play
just
tennis
get
normal.
Married and get everything done with.
What's that? You want to what?
Get everything done with.
Get married, you know? Pop out some kids, and die.
Yeah.
So in order,
that's normal.
Because what? You fear that you're going to go back down that road, or?
Oh, no. I don't know. It's just kind of like I feel like I don't want like any of my old customers or any of my, you know, old dancers that I dance with to see me. Or,
so is this an attempt to redeem yourself?
No, it's not that. It's just... I don't know.
Well, I don't either.
No.
I'm trying to figure it out.
She doesn't know, but she does know whatever
your suggestion was.
Is no.
She knows what it isn't.
Okay, so how long has it been since you danced?
A month.
Did it for 3 months, off for a month. And,
yeah.
Here's all I know. You're depressed.
Yes. How do you support yourself?
After I quit, I moved back home.
Mm-hmm.
Why were you homeless?
Because I got kicked out of the house.
Why?
Just not following the rules, coming home after spending the night with a boyfriend, smelling like whiskey.
How many times have I told you no dancing at a nudie bar, young lady?
My parents?
Yes. Now, take a time out.
Well, see, I was raised Mormon and everything, and so, they just made jokes about it after they found out. You know, I was on my own.
All right, baby. Well, hold on. What turned you into such a mess? What happened to you?
Lots.
Yeah, what happened? Give us the main.
Everything that could possibly go wrong with a person.
Did somebody molest you?
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Grandfather.
Ugh.
Yeah. And how's that old bag? Is he dead yet?
Oh, no, he's in prison.
Oh, good.
Strong work.
Yeah.
Good. I hope some guy makes a shiv out of like a spatula and just sticks it right in between his third and fourth rib and punctures a lung on that old F. That's good. What's he in jail for? That?
Molesting my cousin.
He's getting around.
It's kind of like a whole family deal.
What a delight. What a delightful gent.
Come here and give me a hug.
We can't just put a slug in that old F's head. Do you know what I mean? Like, how many folks did he need to get around to? We got your mom, right?
Oh, no. It was my dad.
Oh, well.
Everyone's daughters, so, you know, he's a school teacher, so who knows?
Oh, my God.
What a delightful gent.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
All right, baby, so now you got some energy, and now you're going to have to work a little bit to work around this, okay?
Yeah.
So you can't act out. No more dancing. That's all right. You don't have to correct everything in 6 months. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know,
listen,
I was a really outgoing person, and I always hung out with people, and now I'm just kind of like, just leave me alone.
You're depressed.
You're depressed,
okay?
And you're looking for sort of a rescue. You're looking for a life preserver right now, and that's not a great way to get in a relationship, certainly not a great way to start a marriage.
Listen, you need friends, you need exercise, you need that kind of stuff. You know, the whole depression thing, listen, everybody, here's what happens. You get depressed, and you want to stop moving. And it's like you have arthritis, and your joints just stop working. And what you need to do, and it's tough because it's painful, because your joints hurt, is you got to move them. Because if you stop, then they'll really seize up, and you'll really be screwed.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is almost force yourself to get on a schedule. You have to get up at a certain time in the morning, even if you don't have anywhere to go. And you have to walk, and you have to exercise. You got to sweat. I mean, Drew, I know I sound like Richard Simmons when I say this, and everybody laughs at me. But look, all of you who are depressed out there, you need to sweat a little bit every day. You'll feel better. You really will. And I'm not talking about sweating to the oldies.
No.
Just go for a walk and listen to some classical music and do some push-ups and eat some good food.
Aerobic exercise compares favorably with antidepressant medication for the treatment of depression.
I can do it. They can do it. You can do it.
Is that Richard Simmons?
No, that's Christopher Lowell.
Fill that space.
Look for the areas. Fill that space.
Today, we're going to take PVC pipe and make it look like bamboo. And then we're going to make a lovely, lovely pedestal end table out of this PVC pipe. Now, all you do, you start off with 700 lineal feet of PVC pipe, and then you'll have to cut it in half using your bandsaw. I hope you have a bandsaw out there. Now, then what you do is you put a coat of primer on it. Now, that takes a day to dry.
Okay, I want to jump out the window. Yeah, I want to jump off the roof.
Hey, Chris, isn't bamboo about a nickel a foot? How's about you just get the real goddamn bamboo and stick it on the table? You know the thing about that show? Oh, okay, you guys got to watch it. Okay,
stop.
Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Stop.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What?
Tara.
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 Don't call me Tara.
Don't call me Tara.
God damn it.
Knows a show that I'm talking about.
Oh, she's excited about it, too. I wonder why she leaned forward.
She loves it.
It's officially it's time to kill myself, because in the year you've been here, this is the first time I've mentioned something on the air that you've been aware of, correct?
Yes. That I've seen her listening.
You love Christopher Lowell? He's
come on. No, please.
But you love him, right?
We need to hear this.
He's the world's gayest man.
I think he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's excellent.
Yeah, he's not meaning to be funny, though. See,
I think he is.
And we think he's funny, too.
I can do it. They can do it. You can do it.
All right. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Yeah! Crank it up! Crank it up! Crank it up! Crank it up! Woo-hoo! Crank it up! Woo! Hey, everybody. Yeah, Beach Rock Holmes. Dr. Drew. Passionate. Let's check the time real fast. Love line. Smack dab in the middle of the lightning round. 12.5 minutes of radio. Let's check the time real fast before we hop back to bump. 11:45 and 59. No! 11:46 straight up. 14 minutes away from the top of the hour straight up. I'm Ace Rackle, your humble host. That's my partner over there, Dr. Drew. Hot, hot, hot. Board certified, ladies. And let's check the weather before we hop back to the phones. And then we got to do some traffic and surferboard, too. Irvine checking in 49. Montebello 55. El Cajon, Chile 53. Wear your dickies out there, kids. City Industry 63. Monrovia 66. Warm over there, my brother. God bless my brother. Studio City 61, 59 Upland. Cerritos checking in at 56. Lancaster coming in at 61. Checking in at 46. Pomona, Altadena 50. Temecula 52. And an even 49 degrees in Valencia. Now it's time to check a little traffic, a little slow and go on the 101. Look out for brake lights.
Caltrans.
Okay, come on, give him a break out there. Debris on the 405, a flatbed truck lost some furniture over there, so look out for that one.
Mattress lane.
Slow and go out there, southbound on the 405.
Higher patrol setting up.
Jackknife bobtail in the third lane in the 118, so watch out for that. Caltrans set up pylons. Look out for flares and cones out there. And a motorcycle down on 110 and 101.
With injuries.
Collided with a nuclear armament truck, so there's going to be an airlift going on over there. But let's hop back on the phone, so what do you say there, Drewski? Oh, by the way, Zuma coming in at 3 to 5, swells out of the door. Trestle's coming in at 6 and overhead with sets of 8 foot, so you surf fans may be able to get out there.
How frequent are the sets?
Coming in every 30 seconds, coming in from the northeast, west, south, south, swell. And Long Beach coming in at 3 with sets of 5. The Wedge coming in at 6 feet with sets of 8. And Newport coming in 3 to 5 feet, swell out of the north, out of the south. The big hurricane Iris out there has really set it off up there.
Oh, gnarly!
Sunrise at 5:53 a.m. Sunset at 6:22 p.m. Let's check.
High tide
rolling in at 12 noon. Huh. All right, watch out for reptiles up there. Let's hop back on the phones, Jersey. Well, let's check the time real fast. It's 11:47 and no, 11:48 straight up. 12 minutes away from the top of the hour. Ace Rock Cole's good partner over there, Dr. Drew. No. Smack dab in the middle of the light. Let's hop out on the phone and speak to Van. I can't pronounce your name, babe. We got to move on to the next call.
No, come on, wait.
What's your name there, Dr. Drew? Veda. Veda, 24 years old, baby. This has to go on. What's going on?
Okay. My ex-boyfriend gave me my first orgasm. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the boy, huh?
Yeah, man.
How old were you when that happened?
This was last year.
23. 23 years old. First boy. Irvine checking in 49, Montebello 55. Go ahead.
Okay. So then, my boyfriend now, every time I have sex with him, all I can
hold
think
on.
About,
your current boyfriend or his name is now? She's had her boyfriend now. The guy was like a Korean guy or something, you know. Alcohol checking in 53. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All I can think about is my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, first guy. Hold on. We got a bobcat. Pick this coming in. Look out for brake lights on the 405. Little Sloan, go over there.
Why don't you get back with your ex-boyfriend if you're really into him?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's that. I mean, I really like him, but it's I don't know if I just keep thinking about him because of the orgasm. It's only when I'm having sex.
It's only when you're having sex. Hold on a second.
Or maybe it's just that you're not into the current guy.
Sorry, Drew. I got to check time here. 11:49 and 30 seconds. That's 10 minutes and 30 seconds away from the top of the hour, straight up. Smack dab in the middle of the lightning round. Fast 12 and a half minutes of radio. I'm Ace Rockola. That's my good over there partner there, Dr. Drew. Going to be with you about another 10 minutes. Sioux City coming in for 61. Upland 59, 56. Doritos Lancaster 61. Let's hop back on the phones now and talk to Danielle. Danielle, you're 15 years old. I'm Ace Rock Cola. What can we do you for?
There's stuff coming out of my nipple.
Hold on. Let me check the time. It's 11. No! 11:50 straight up. 10 minutes away from the top of the hour. What's coming out of your nipple, sweetie? No.
Any chance you're pregnant?
Mm-hmm. No.
Are you on any medication?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm on risperidone Effexor.
Okay, those cause breast milk production as one of the side effects. Mm-hmm. You want to talk to your doctor about that. Occasionally, there can be little tumors in the pituitary gland that can make that more prevalent, but it all is also a kind of normal side effect of that medicine.
Yeah, let me say this. Got milk? Yeah. Lancaster checking in at 61, Palmdale coming in at 57, Pomona 46. Let's hop back on the phones here, Drew. We'll check weather, traffic, surf, and I'll give you the sunrise and sunset coming up. And again, we'll check the time real fast. Let's talk to Mike. Mike, 17 years old. What's going on, Mike?
Twinkie old, baby. Woo!
What's up, guys?
Hey, it's 11:55. No, it's 11:50 and 55 seconds. No, wait a minute. 11:51 straight up. 9 minutes away from the top of the hour. I'm Ace Rock Cole. It's a good partner over there, Dr. Drew. Now, what's going on there, Mike?
Hey, you guys are great. Uh-huh. I'd like to say that for...
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, buddy.
And, okay, when I drink alcoholic beverages...
Yeah. I've been there.
Sometimes, most of the times, I throw up.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, let me ask you a question. I'll tell you something Ace Rock Cole has done a few times. You put them beer goggles on, huh? You have a few beers, and you get them beer goggles. You take home them fat, putrid bitches, and you have them all night with them beer goggles on. It makes the fat, ugly ones you don't want to have them on.
Actually, not.
No, hey, Mike.
It's a Montebello coming at 49 degrees.
You mean you have any alcohol? You sip on it, then you vomit? Or you mean you drink to excess, and then you vomit?
No, I sometimes I'll drink, two beers, and the bubbles will build up in my stomach, and I'll throw up. Or sometimes I'll have six and be like, ugh.
Are you Asian?
Temecula coming in 52. Valencia 49, by the way. 46 in Pomona. Altadena 50. Yeah, is what? White?
I'm as white as they come.
Well, there's your problem, albino. All right. Well, look, man. Hey, don't drink there, buddy.
Are you on any medication?
Hey, you get them beer goggles on. Huh? We've been there, huh? You've been there. Hey, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. You know what I'm saying?
Are you on any medication at all?
Bang this fat bitch.
Not at all.
Nothing. No anti-inflammatory, no Tylenol or anything?
I'll tell you what happens, Drew. You put them beer goggles, and they're not actual goggles. It's what happens to your eyesight after you tilt a few at the bar. Then them fat, skanky, herpetic bitches. You go home and you bag them all night long. You wouldn't have them with B. Arthur's tongue, you know what I'm saying? But after you put them beer goggles on, you have sex with them fat, putrid bitches. 11:53 in 10 seconds. That is 6 minutes and 50 seconds away from the top of the hour straight up.
No.
Montebello coming in 49. We got a surf coming out to the northeast. Azuma's coming in 3-5 sets of 6. Sunset at 6:51 in the morning. Sunset at 6:09 in the evening. We're going to hop back on the phones. Here's
the traffic update.
Oh, yeah, we got slow and go on the 405. Look out for brake lights. We got debris on the 118. And we got a bobtailed big rig out there, too. A bobcat, a jack knife, and a big cat.
Caltrans, lane closed.
Look out for some lane closures over there, Caltrans. Hey, give him a break, huh? Give him a break. All right, we want to hop back on the phones here, Drew. See what we can do.
I'll get out of here.
I'll tell you what. During the break, I'm going to tell you about these beer goggles. You end up drinking, and oh, man, women who don't deserve you to have sex with them, you end up having sex with them. And you kick those fat pigs out of
with
bed.
With UAs?
Yeah.
No way.
I'll tell you what I do. I do my coyote thing, man. I wake up the next morning like, whoa, look what I put my penis in. I actually chewed my arm off to get out of bed. It's like, I wasn't proud of it either, I got to tell you. Fat, ugly women don't deserve to have sex. I'm really hot. I shouldn't have sex with them. All right. Well, you got them goggles. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. We'll be right back. Well, there you go. Another fantabulous episode of Loveline, deep, deep in the ground. Save Ferris, our good friend Save Ferris, will be in here tomorrow night. And Ozzy Osbourne next week, everyone, along with Lit, who are a bunch of good guys, too. So
I haven't seen those guys in a while, have we?
I ran into one or two of them at a swap meet not too long ago, but good times. Yeah, good times. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. And you get them beer goggles, you take home them fat, putrid bitches, and you have them all night with them beer goggles on.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.